This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Okay, Anthony, I'm so excited to have you on the pod.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So obviously I met you because my shoulder issues, and I've talked about it so much on the podcast and on Instagram and with friends, and I complained about it for months before I got help. So I think, and you know, it's so funny, through the process, I've realized that so many people have issues, a lot of like shoulder issues, especially. So I want to talk about all the things, but could you first tell everyone a little bit about you, like all the things you do? Like, I was surprised when I came to you, you do everything from dry needling, chiropractic work, PT work, like all the things. Will you tell everyone what you do and about it, I guess?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm what they call a chiropractic rehabilitation specialist. So, and that's kind of a West Coasty term that I bring with me. Of course, I'm in Nashville now, but basically, I wanted to do more than just one thing. I wanted to be able to provide comprehensive services from an alternative health or holistic health experience. So yeah, I went shadowing. Like, before I started all this, I shadowed a bunch of different professionals, loved a lot of the stuff that I was seeing. And then one time I shadowed this one doc out in Utah who really embodied everything that could be offered to a patient. So chiropractic, but he also did exercises and rehabilitation to help fix people. So that was my first inspiration. I wanted to be able to offer more than just, you know, an adjustment or just some tissue work. So I started the chiropractic journey, went to chiropractic school. Then I decided I wanted to really master the rehabilitative aspect. So I got a master's degree in sports science and rehabilitation. Got an outstanding residency out in California with a world-renowned rehabilitation doc. Did that for a little bit. Got to really see how to employ everything in a really progressive manner, which was great in the Los Angeles scene. And then I went down the strength coaching route. So I went through Strong First and all of their strength training and methodology of like teaching people how to be strong and move well. That ties really well in also with Gray Cook's company, FMS. So got to teach with those companies as well, which was pretty amazing. And then, yeah, essentially it's offering, you know, chiropractic to help with mobility and overall like enhancing movement patterns and all the benefits that chiropractic has to offer, but then like dipping into the physical therapy aspect, offering rehabilitation, you know, from a sport and non-sport standpoint, and then really finishing off with strength training, using strength to seal in the benefits and help prevent that stuff from coming back.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us, like, so you have all these like gadgets. You obviously do dry needling, which I've never done before until I came to you. You have lasers. You got, what's that wave where you put and it pulses the pain?
Yeah, shockwave.
Yeah. And then you also have the thing that you put on my arm and it cuts out the circulation and have me do it. Can you like talk a little bit about all those things that most people might not have ever experienced?
Sure. Yeah. So dry needling is really interesting, because it accelerates the healing process. And so I was really excited when I got to Tennessee, I could use dry needling again. In Washington, where I was previously practicing due to politics and, you know, just protecting, I guess, other people's zone of treatment. You know, there's a lot of acupuncturists and, you know, Chinese oriental medicine out there. And so dry needling was pretty much only in that sector. So in Tennessee, I was so excited to employ this just because it does help people recover so much faster. I mean, it's amazing. So
wait, so it wasn't allowed In
Yeah, it was
oh.
solely for acupuncturists, and of course, I think surgeons could do it, because they're,
Oh.
they
Okay,
do,
interesting. I
but
didn't even know that that was like different
yeah.
per state or whatever. Okay. So can you tell people the difference between dry needling and acupuncture?
Yes, so acupuncture is it functions off a completely different premise. So it's a whole body treatment rather than just let's target the area and stimulate healing. So they use meridians. So they put different needles throughout the whole body on these different maps that were developed thousands of years ago. It's honestly one of the most fascinating branches of medicine. Unfortunately, that's the extent that I know about it. I don't really totally understand exactly how it all works because I haven't gone through that training, but it's amazing. I remember I worked with an acupuncturist at my last job, and I told her, I was like, I've got a headache. Is there anything you can do for that? And she puts me on my stomach, puts needles in my low back,
Oh.
and puts a couple somewhere else. I can't remember where else, but I essentially woke up 30 minutes later. And it felt like I had slept for a week
No.
and my headache was completely gone and I felt like a new person. So I was
Yeah.
like, after that, I hate to say believer, but I was
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
man, this
No,
is
for sure
something,
though. Yeah.
because it's just something different. If you're typically in, standardized medicine, you used to go to the doc, get a medication, et cetera, having someone put needles in your body, you're like, how is that going to actually do something?
Yeah.
It works,
And so
but
far
yeah.
away from your head too. You're like, what is this gonna
So dry needling, I believe, comes from that sector of healthcare. It's
Okay.
just very targeted. So if you come in with neck pain or shoulder pain, it's a tool to use to help stimulate healing and to get that process moving faster.
Yeah, and like for my shoulder, so people know, like you would put the needles in and then I would feel some pain like going down and then the pain would subside. And you'd only leave the needles in for not that long because I'm scared of needles, so I'm not a fan. Like I came in with like I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, I
But
remember
it whatever
that.
you did combination wise, it worked. So it's interesting. And then tell people like the lasers and all the other stuff that you've got going on.
So I love the laser because it's something that I can, follow up with needling with it because it tends to, because needling is somewhat uncomfortable, especially if you have a fear of it. Many times you don't feel anything. The needles go
Okay.
in, they just
So
kind of
I was
chill
just
there. But
lucky. Okay.
it's yeah, there's just yeah, sometimes like areas like the shoulder where you're getting into some of those inflamed areas, you can definitely feel it. But anyway, if the laser is really amazing because it also stimulates healing, promotes circulation. And I remember when I was going through some of the training to use that modality, they talked about how it stimulates the mitochondria, like at the cellular level, and speeds up our body's natural processes. And so that helps with, the healing aspect and getting an injury to respond faster to treatment. But it's also nice after a modality like dry needling, just because it kind of smooths it over with something that feels good, because it's that
Yeah.
warm red
I
light,
was gonna say
like
I
the red
like the
area.
warmth of it and it does, it's not like a laser that like hurts because some lasers I know can like hurt, obviously if you're doing like hair removal and all that.
Yes.
What about the thing you put on my arm that cuts off the circulation? What
Oh yeah,
is that and
the blood flow
why are we
restriction.
even doing that?
Yeah, so blood flow restriction is really interesting. It's definitely still being studied. But there are lots of certifications and different sources of education, for practitioners to use it, but it's also being used by a lot of personal trainers now as well because they've noticed a lot of strength gains that come a lot faster when you're restricting the blood flow. So it is being used across different professions now. As far as my profession, it's the way that I like to explain it is it's almost like you're putting your extremity into a state of crisis temporarily. So it's going to activate a lot of different mechanisms that help promote the healing process. One thing that's been really interesting that I've noticed is that it also seems to desensitize. So you come in with an ankle sprain, and as long as you clear the criteria, so that you are a candidate for blood flow restriction therapy. So meaning like you don't have any clotting issues, et cetera. There's a lot of different stuff that you can have that would make you not a good candidate for it. But anyway, assuming you're all good there, so you have a sprained ankle and it's inflamed, it's upset. Let's say it's an athlete, they're trying to get back into the field immediately. What you can do is you can use blood flow restriction therapy to, one, promote that healing process. But if you do exercises, ranges of motion, different activities while the blood flow restriction is on that extremity, you can desensitize that in a way so that it's not as much of a threat to the nervous system, and it can actually affect how you experience pain, if that makes any sense. So it's been a really good tool to accelerate someone getting back into just a normal day-to-day routine.
It's interesting. It's just so people get like a visual, like for my shoulder, you would put it on my upper arm. It would cut off the circulation for that whole arm, and then you'd have me do exercises with weights.
Exactly.
And the first round, not too bad, but by like the second, the third round, I'm like, this is so hard, even if it's like a 5 pounder or 10 pounder. So it is interesting. What about that? I forget what it's called, the wave or whatever, where you put it and it will find the where it
Yes.
hurts.
So yeah, this is called the P wave. So it's a shockwave modality. So like the shockwave's a big thing right now. It's trending in a lot of clinics. Many clinics even offer it like on its own. You can just call and set up a shockwave session. We do it again to augment our overall goals. We like to combine multiple modalities, to make sure that people get as much of an hour-long session as possible. So anyway, it is really interesting. The shockwave is, as you can tell, it's like you can feel like an ache when it's affecting a tissue that needs healing. But it is remarkable how much it helps with pain. I mean, it's like it's one of those modalities, like especially for tendinopathies, that's been the big one I've really enjoyed using with patients.
What's
Because so
tendinopathy?
like an Achilles tendonitis, or like it's been going on for a long time, it would be considered a tendinosis, but it's just, tendinous health, so someone comes into me, let's just go with an Achilles problem. They've been having Achilles pain for either a long time or a short time, very painful. They can't play tennis or they can't run or they can't do whatever they want. The P wave has been something that has really broken those barriers fast. And so I usually don't combine it with dry needling. That's usually a little too much for that area. But yeah, P wave is something that's really great because it uses a completely different method to help stimulate the healing process and also calm down that pain. Because the faster we can get that pain under control, the faster that we can build that tissue up and make it strong again, so they can do what they want to do.
And then one time, I don't know if you remember this, you put me in this thing where I look like a bird. Like
Oh,
you,
yeah.
I had my whole upper body in it, and then it like expands. I don't even, wait, what is it called? What does that do?
Yeah, so that was our Normatec machine. So pretty sure that was one of the days I felt like you had suffered enough that day and was like, let's do
You're like,
something
let her just lay
quicker.
here.
Yeah, so that's yeah, those are great. You can get those on Amazon for $700, $800. I think even Costco has them. They're great. Almost all of our professional athletes have them at home. They basically their arm or leg sleeves. There's one for your hips too. We don't have that one, but yeah, essentially, this machine pumps those sleeves full of air and compresses your extremities to help facilitate circulation and oxygenation of the tissue. So it's just another recovery tool.
Yeah, that's
So
interesting.
great if you have a ton of swelling, and
Like,
if you
what
want to
kind of
promote circulation.
athletes do you feel like would benefit the best from that?
Oh gosh, I think anyone could. Even someone that, weights tables all day long, at the end of the day, it would be a
Oh, just like
great
on
tool
their feet.
just to get circulation going. It's yeah, it's not gonna be as dramatic as some of the other modalities, that we had talked about, but it is really nice, especially like if you go back to an ankle sprain, or something that has swelling associated with it, and they have and the patient has normal circulation, or no serious diagnoses. It would be a great tool to help promote circulation to help that extremity return to normal.
You also do cupping, which I've never done. Tell us what is cupping good for?
So I'm actually not, cupping is probably my least favorite modality out of all of them. So
I just don't
I
like that it leaves
do.
bruises on you. That's why I'm always like
Yeah.
deterred from doing it. I'm like, eh, I don't know if I want bruises all over my back or.
And it isn't, I mean, there have been some adverse cases, not very many. I don't think it's very common at all. But
Okay.
I mean, there have been patients that have had blistering and some other severe effects. So Oriental medicine practitioner would be the best person to ask about this particular modality, just because
Gosh.
they've learned from the original people that it comes from. You know, they typically use different ways of doing it, but like they'll use like a the cup will be made of glass. And it's more of a like a circular shape, and then they'll light a match underneath, and then
Right.
put the cup on your skin, and then as that air cools inside the cup, it'll suck the skin up into it. And so, anyway, so they're the OGs. They're the ones that
Yeah.
really know
Is
that
this,
skill.
do they do it for like lymphatic movement? Like, what's the point?
So that, yeah, for them, I'm not exactly sure, like all the reasons. I would assume, yes, that would be part of it. I use it as another modality if someone, like for one category, let's say a patient is really skittish, like when it comes to dry needling, or they have a really hard time relaxing, with tissue work, or let's say it was a patient that shared with me that they had some abuse in the past. And so they're not comfortable with people touching them as much. It would be a
Okay, got it.
great, it's a
Yeah.
great alternative. And I've noticed that people that are extra sensitive to being touched, it tends to work really well. So from my experience and like watching patients, it can help with circulation. It can help with, fascia is all that connective tissue that surrounds everything in the body. It covers your muscles. It bleeds into tendons. It goes around everything in the body. It's just connective tissue. So like your IT band on the outside of your leg is just thickened connective tissue and fascia, And so the superficial fascia that goes around the extremities or throughout the body, you can use cupping to help loosen that up because they're finding that fascia has contractile components. And so you could use cupping to help loosen that up a little bit, which would help the overall area
Got
calm
it.
down. And yeah, so anyway, so from that perspective, I like to use it. And there's another thing called like cup dragging. So you put like
I've
one
seen
cup
that. Yeah.
and then you just drag it all like along the paraspinals and your back or, over different areas throughout the body. And that really seems to help with just getting people to relax. It's one of those tension relievers. I'm not sure exactly why it works. It feels absolutely amazing, like if you get the right amount of pressure.
Okay.
So again, another way to help get
It almost just
fascia
sounds
up.
like the benefits of massage.
So I would imagine similar. I think massage gets a little deeper.
Okay.
Yeah, because the cups just sit on top of the skin and it just
Oh,
grabs
okay.
hold of the skin,
Yeah.
but anyway, yeah, but it is a one thing too is, placebo plays a role in every single modality that we use. Even just walking into a doctor's office. I mean, it's just when you do something to help your body, your brain understands you're trying to do something, and that can
Yeah.
play a role in things getting better. So there's been some interesting studies. So
Interesting.
anyway,
Yeah, like the psychology of it.
even if we're using modality, it could work not even for the reason that the modality was created. It could work solely just based on the person believing that it's going to help. That's been interesting.
Interesting.
So it's a humbling thing for any healthcare practitioner, I think, to consider that because it is,
Yeah.
talked about a lot by experts. But yeah,
That
definitely
is so
plays a big role.
interesting. What injuries are you seeing mostly by age group? Because I would think like a teenager injury is probably pretty different than my age group, older. I know my age group, I feel like everyone I talk to has a shoulder issue. And I don't know if it's because that's what I'm dealing with, but I feel like everyone I talk to, men and women, it's the shoulder. So like what's going on? What are you seeing a lot of?
I'll say one thing that's been interesting is that, so I've treated a lot of gymnasts, dancers, and runners. One thing that's been really interesting in younger age groups is I've seen more low back fractures than I would have imagined. It's, I mean, they're
Interesting.
not, again, they're not like walking in every day, but
Yeah.
A young gymnast comes in, low back pain, nothing works, nothing helps. You get an X-ray or an MRI, and yep, they've got a special type of low back fracture that's associated with repetitive overuse. And so that was like I remember learning about that in I was a gymnast growing up and I coached for 10 years and it was an amazing part of my life, but I didn't see it too often. I see it more now as a doc, than I did growing up. So that was really interesting. Someone coming in, sometimes they're already diagnosed and they just want someone to help get them strong and resilient again so that injury can heal. I just discharged a 14-year-old kid had it. His developed from running. He was just an avid runner, and that's not the first sport I would have thought, although it does happen. It's more in gymnastics, you can imagine all of the dramatic movement that the spine has to go through, to become an accomplished athlete. Sometimes that can happen. The good news is it can heal, get back to what you want to do. It's just that was a surprise to me. So other than that,
That's
with
interesting. I
eating
wonder why.
habits, like the most common stuff I would see would be ankle sprains, tendonitis developing, and then like in the younger age groups, like growing pains. So helping, like Stieber's disease in the heel would be a good example.
My 10-year-old had that a few months ago. It was really painful, but yeah, it was a growing pain.
So you help them move well. So you do functional movement screening, see how they're moving, optimize how they're moving, how they're playing, how they're, living life. And then you promote the optimal mobility, that's needed for that area. You help prepare them the best you can for the sport, whether that's strengthening a certain component of their body or even just training the right coordination of the musculature to help optimize their ability to play their sport. Other than that, it's just modalities to help calm down the pain, so that they can do what they want to do and feel better.
What about older, like 30s, 40s, 50s? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so that's that gets real wide in the range. So,
You're like
people don't.
everything.
Oh
Just
my
kidding.
gosh, it's funny. Yeah, so with that, yeah, with kids, it's a lot like sport related stuff. When in like 30s, 40s, we get desk athletes that come in. That's what I call people that work at a desk, 40, 50 hours a week. We call them desk athletes, because they have a lifestyle. That's the demand they're putting on their body is being able to sustain work, at a desk all day long. So that's my job is to help them optimize their work environment, but also help prepare their body for the activity that they're doing. So for that, anyway, so that's a big one is helping optimize someone's work situation so
Yeah.
that
Is
they.
your like recommendation normally like those standing desks or sit on a medicine ball or what do you usually
So
say to someone?
I love that you asked that. So as far as that's concerned, standing is better, but it is a lesser evil because you're not moving. So p humans were designed to move all the time, So when we're in the same position for a while, our body stability mechanisms become suboptimal. So, like for example, like have you ever tried to sit at your desk with perfect posture? You look like a concert pianist, sitting in front of your computer. And you're like, all right, I'm gonna have good posture today because my doc said, and then 15 minutes later, you're like slouched over like a teenager in high school, sitting in math class, So it's like, it's extremely hard to do that, to be able to sit in one position. And so what happens then is you're slouching, you lose your posture, the muscles start to turn off, and then your actual joints and ligaments are starting to get loaded at that point. And so the real thing that we need to do is to make sure that you are changing your movement as much as you can. So if you have like an Apple Watch, one of the best things to do would be to like set your alarm every 20 minutes, then have once it goes off, if you're able, get up and do something. It could be, I like to call it a micro break. So you take 30 seconds to a minute and you just go do something. You could go refill your coffee across the room. You could go do some push-ups at your desk. You could do rehabilitation exercises or stretching, just something to get your body moving so that your stability mechanisms in your body are able to work correctly.
Interesting. And then everyone that I talk to has a shoulder thing going on. Why? And I think I forget what it's called. Shoulder impingement, tendonitis, or whatever. And it's men, it's women, it's healthy people, people that work out every day. Like, what is going on?
So usually there's a combination of lifestyle activities that are feeding it. So if you're a health freak and you work out all the time, there could be something in the way that you're working out that's you could have perfect form. It's just you're using it so much that you're developing overuse, which can inflame the tendons. Or it could be, you may be using, your form may be off. Maybe you have a structural abnormality. So like with a shoulder impingement, sometimes you can develop spurring of the bones that go over the supraspinatus, which is one of your rotator cuff muscles. So that can cause a repetitive problem, and there's nothing that you can do to do it. That's what, you know, so that's why we get imaging to make sure, like if we're going through a conservative trial of care and things are just not responding the way that we would think, we can check it out. But anyway, here in the Music City, we see a lot of musicians. People will sit and play their guitar for hours, for example, and it just puts their shoulder into a suboptimal position, and so the body will then, respond to that.
Got it.
And so in that case, musicians are definitely their own like section of patient, that you have to work with because their livelihood depends on it, but it does put a lot of strain on the body in certain ways. And so it's about optimizing the way that they're doing their job. That can be a really tricky one, depending on the instrument being used.
It was interesting. Some other PT guy I was talking to a while ago was telling me that usually the shoulder issue he sees is usually women, and he was trying to figure out why. And I was thinking, like, is it because like we did all those years of like nursing or like carrying a toddler on our hip or
That can play a
who
role.
knows? Like, yeah, something that like we're doing a lot of for so many years, and then later on it causes an issue, like who knows? But yeah.
Yeah, they can
What
all play a
about
role.
like the older generations, like 60s, 70s? What are you seeing a lot there? I know a lot of concern for especially women is osteoporosis or any sort of bone health.
Yeah,
Like
great
what are
question.
you seeing? What can we do at that age group?
Well, when that age group comes in to see me, I hope that they had been prioritizing certain healthy habits their whole life, because that is a big determinant of, it's kind of like starting skincare in your 20s, can determine how good you look in your 40s. It's the same thing for inside the body with movement and strength and that kind of stuff. Nutrition is huge. Nutrition is a massive topic, and it's so controversial.
Is
But you know,
it?
but there's it is
Oh.
nutrition. That's almost a podcast in itself. It's
Right,
you could interview five different nutritionists, and there's going to be some common themes,
Right. Oh, that's true. Because everyone has, I know what you're saying. That was going to be one of my questions for you was like, do you ever tell a patient, like, you shouldn't be eating this right now because it's causing inflammation or issues? Or do you ever tell people to cut things out or add things in?
I mean, that's a great question. What I've learned over the years is to listen to what works for different people, because not that's the same thing. Like one treatment for one person is not is needs to be changed and personalized for the next one. Every treatment is personalized. So I think the same things with nutrition. So especially, whatever they're going to stick to is going to be better than about eating a bunch of crap. So if they do really well as a vegetarian, and they're able to choose really healthy sources. I'm a meat person if it's, comes from the right, animal that was raised correctly and all that stuff. But some people are very anti-meat, and there's some good arguments out there, I will say that. I mean, I've listened to both sides. I just know how I feel when I have good organic grass-fed meat. I feel much stronger and more nourished, but some people don't respond to that, or they have a moral issue with animals being killed, so essentially it's about finding what is it, whatever's going to work for them, that's going to nourish their body the best possible way. And so I try not to tell people, hey, don't do this, or hey, you definitely should do this. It's more of, hey, have you thought about this, or have you considered this, or what's worked for you in the past? When do you feel the best? And then you have to combine that with blood work and You know, it's a really, I think the nutrition field to really do it well is one of the hardest fields to go into because it does involve so much. And a lot of times it involves being co-managed with a physician of some sort who can monitor blood work and get certain things checked.
Yeah, but do you ever get people where you're like, let's not do caffeine, or let's cut this out while you're healing because you'll heal
Oh,
faster, is what I
yes.
mean. Like,
I
obviously, like
completely understand. Yep.
overall nutrition for sure, and everyone has their preferences, and I'm with you on that. Like, I eat meat, but I also love getting protein from lentil or black beans or whatever. But do you ever have people come in and you're like, hey, I don't know if you're doing a lot of drinking, but like, let's not do alcohol while we're
Oh,
healing,
yeah.
or like, I don't know if there's like certain things where you're like, let's cut this out.
Got it. Okay, that's a great question. Thank you. So yes, alcohol is going to keep you inflamed. It's going to slow down the healing process. Alcohol is even now being in like new studies coming out are saying that it's one of the primary causes of like a lot of different cancers. So it can really feed disease big time. So anyway, yes, alcohol is a perfect example. If you eat a lot of sugar, that's going to promote inflammation, you know. But other foods that you can do to help calm down inflammation or help things heal, one is just eating anti-inflammatory fats. Now, like the most common one you'd think of is like fish oil, you know, or eat some salmon, you know, something like that. But people forget you can also consume some olive oil. Olive oil is also anti-inflammatory. Using avocado oil. There's a lot of talk about seed oils, and there's conflicting opinions there. That's also somewhat controversial. A lot of people are super against it because it's terrible and this and that, and other people think it's inflammatory. Well, there's some research that says that, hey, it's really actually not as anti or it's not as inflammatory as we thought it was. I think the big thing though is a lot of seed oils have a lot of omega-6s, and if you get too many omega-6s compared to omega-3s in the diet, it can promote inflammation. I think that also comes down to balance, you know, and who you're buying from, like what's the quality of the ingredient being used. Anyway, yeah, so eating healthy fats, so like flaxseed would be another really good source of anti-inflammatory. One of the easiest things that you can do if you've gotten injured is eat some pineapple. You know, have a half a cup of pineapple a couple times a day because it's got what's called bromelain in it, which is an anti-inflammatory. Really, really, really helpful. Ginger and turmeric, those are also like amazing for anti-inflammatory foods. And there's a lot of great like herbal complexes that you can buy now that just have everything in it. And if you get it from a pharmaceutical grade company that's third party tested, you're in the clear. So that's another thing. I personally, I mean, because I work with my hands all day long, I take an herbal supplement to help keep that. And this is a great thing for people that have like a lot of arthritis. A supplement called BioInflamax by the company Biogenesis. And they have an amazing herbal complex that they've put together that's got niacinamide and N-acetylcysteine, Boswellia, bromelain, turmeric, ginger. It's got all these powerhouse ingredients, and it's a really high quality brand, and that has made a tremendous difference. Like if I don't take it, that's when I start to feel some of that aching come back in my hands because I use them so long or so much during the day.
Plants are medicine. I love
Oh yeah.
that. What are you, are there any like workout trends that you're loving or hating right now that you're seeing? I don't know if there's, you're seeing a lot of injuries from one, or there's certain trends you're loving that you really want people to get on board with.
Gotcha. Well, I'm definitely a kettlebell guy because I went through
Yes.
all
I
the
know that from all my shoulder
oh
exercises.
yeah from all the hard stuff. I love teaching people kettlebells and helping them rehab with that. Yeah, probably a little too much, but yeah. So kettlebells are definitely a fad, I think, right now, but I think it's one that's not going to
I
easily
mean, they've
go
been
away.
around for a while, no? I just heard, I think it was Joe Rogan, said his whole workout is kettlebells. Everything he does. And it's like he went through his whole routine, and I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yep, that's essentially what I'm doing right now. I don't do a ton of, I do, I'll do pull-ups and I'll do some barbell lifts here and there, but it's largely kettlebells for sure. Just because of the, it's amazing how training some of these movements, like a Turkish get-up, for example, is a big kettlebell move. If you're big into the kettlebell world, that's probably something you're doing on a regular basis. It's amazing for promoting overall body mobility and strength, and just the
Mm-hmm.
way that it teaches your body to coordinate and co-contract is really amazing. And it's like really, it's personally, it's helped prevent a lot of injuries in my life. I'm getting really strong with that. I just feel more coordinated. Kettlebells are also amazing because of how they prepare you for just regular, normal, everyday life. So one of them is like a suitcase carry. So you pick up a heavy kettlebell on one side, take a walk. That's it. And it's amazing how it recruits the musculature throughout the body to stabilize just by holding something heavy in one hand. And so the next, you start training that for a while, and you, next thing you realize, you pick up groceries from your car, bring them into the house, and it's a piece of cake. It's really fun to see how it changes
I
your
know
body.
since coming to you, I feel obviously stronger. And I was at Whole Foods the other day and she's like, I feel like this bag got too heavy. I'm like, it's fine. I can do it. I'm like, make it heavy. I want less bags. Like, but you do notice it when you start strengthening certain muscles where it's like not a big deal.
The problem with kettlebells is they are a lot of the movements are very technical. So if you get into like kettlebell snatches or cleans, usually it takes working with a coach for a while, to make sure that you're doing the form
That's a good
correctly.
tip.
Because you can easily, bang your forearms around or get into positions where that are not optimal for the joints. And then it's good to have somebody that's looking at your form here and there to make sure that you're not degrading. That's been a huge thing. So,
Any workouts you're not a fan of?
Well, I used to do CrossFit and I even competed for a little bit. It was a blast. I think CrossFit can be a really good thing. I just think that I bring up CrossFit because some of the enthusiasts that get into it are so into it that it becomes an overuse situation again. And so I think everything can be really good as long as balance is a part of it, as long as, whatever gym you're a part of, CrossFit or not, you have like a really good coach that is balancing the workouts and really emphasizing form. And so I think really it's about making sure you're avoiding an overuse situation or an unhealthy amount of capacity on the body. Because essentially, your body's not going to break down if it's prepared for whatever load you put on it. And so just making sure someone is being brought into, the workouts in an appropriate way so that they don't break down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there any like daily movements that we should all be doing to just stay like for longevity and to have mobility?
Oh gosh, yeah, that's one is walking. You should walk every day. I love that getting a certain amount of steps every day is a thing now. That's amazing. And then we have, these things that we can put on, like Whoops or even your Apple Watch now will tell you all these stats. That is something that is so awesome and people really get into it. I think that's really motivated people. But walking is so important. It's one of those things. It's just like drinking water. It's something that's going to help improve your lifespan and just your overall quality of life. We need to move. And so even just walking, but some sort of strength training that you enjoy. I think that's the big thing. I think a lot of people don't stick with it because they don't enjoy it. If you hate working out and you hate strength, find a trainer that you love. If you love the person and you like going to see them, that's the right person. Yeah, that's the right, thing, assuming that they're providing good services, But yeah, got to be in strength training and then something that's going to help maintain your overall range of motion, so that your joints are moving in a healthy way. So that can be combined in, what you're doing with your trainer or your gym, or even having some type of mobility or stretching routine on the side. So for some people that's yoga. Some people like to go get stretched out. So there's facilities that you can go pay someone to stretch you out.
I know you and I, we're ex-gymnasts, so I feel like we always think about stretching where a lot of people skip it completely. It's all about like cardio and strength training and, Pilates versus heavy weights. And it's like, well, what about this? I feel like stretching is such a big part of staying mobile.
Well, that's the good thing too about functional fitness. If you're choosing stuff in the functional fitness world like kettlebells or CrossFit or like Orange Theory is considered a functional fitness sport, to my knowledge. That stuff is going to help you maintain your range of motion because you're using it. That's one thing too, is like even if you get stretched out or you're stretching, sometimes I'll do a straddle stretch on the ground while I'm winding down for the day. It's a good thing to do. The only thing is that if you're not training your brain to use that mobility that you're giving it, it's not going to stick as well. And so that's another important part, is making sure that you're using the mobility that you're trying to teach your body to have.
That's a good tip. What are your thoughts on running? Because we always hear it's hard on your joints, it's hard on your body. You shouldn't run long term as you age.
Yes, that's somewhat controversial. I think anything again is good in moderation. You can overuse or overdo anything. So again, if you're going to get into running, make sure you're working with a qualified coach, making sure that you're easing into the sport, making sure that your biomechanics are really good. So finding someone who can watch you run, watch your gait, do a functional movement screen, see what muscles or areas of the body might be chinks in the chain that you need to oil out and get moving well. So some corrective exercise might be really helpful there. But as long as you have good biomechanics and you have a good training strategy, I think running's a great thing. Absolutely.
No, that makes sense. There's also like so many trends right now. What are, I guess, like some of your favorites? So thinking like massage, sauna, cold plunge, like all these things that we're constantly being told to do aside from move our body, eat healthy, and get sleep. What would be like some of your top ones that people should try to get into their routine somehow?
Well, I love sauna. I would tell anybody to do sauna. I think it's amazing. The old-fashioned just hot room, with the coals in the corner, that's supposed to be the best. Infrared, of course, is also really good. But there's so much research on sauna. That's going to promote your overall health and well-being. It's amazing. So highly recommend that. And then cold plunge. So I've done cold plunge. I personally feel amazing after. I think it's like if you're having a stressful week personally, like if I'm having like stressful week, I've got a lot on my mind. If I cold plunge, it is like the best anti-anxiety drug you could ever take. I mean, I am so relaxed after that. So for me, it calms me down and gets me relaxed. You do have to be careful with it though. If you do it after, let's say you're trying to gain muscle or you're working out, you want to get some of those positive effects from training. If you cold plunge right after a workout, it's gonna go against what you just did a bit. It's gonna take away a bit from that benefit. So you don't want to
Oh,
do it like right
interesting.
after a workout. Anyway, but yeah, there does need to be a little more research on it to understand comprehensively how it's affecting the body. But
I've
I just
never done the cold plunge. Well, I don't like being cold. So, I mean, we have a sauna. So, I would rather be in the sauna all day long. But the one thing with the cold plunge that I'm not sure about is I feel like it would promote putting on fat. Because if I'm cold, wouldn't my body want to like have more fat on it? I don't know. Like, I
Well,
haven't
there
like.
are, I mean, I have read some arguments that say that your body naturally wants to hold on to stuff in the winter and naturally wants to let stuff go. I have read something on that. I don't know if it would do that or not, because if you're just cold plunging for a few minutes once a week, I don't think that's enough. But that said, I will say, I grew up in Chicago where the wind chill can get down to negative 30, where it's horrific. It's one of the reasons I left. Love Chicago, just can't live there. But yeah, it was I mean, I did cold plunging twice a week for like a month before I went back in the winter. I just wanted to see what it would do. And I was hands down more resilient to the cold. I thought it was amazing, actually. With so like someday I want to take a National Geographic tour down to Antarctica. Like I would definitely cold plunge for a few months before
Before
going.
you go, that's so interesting because it's so funny because we have friends here that are from Canada and they're like, hey, like, you want to go to like a football game? And I was like, no, it's way too cold. It was like 40 or 30 degrees. We're from California, so obviously we're not used to cold. And for them, it was no big deal. They're like, this is not that cold. But it's so true. It's whatever you're used to or whatever you train yourself. I hate being cold, so I don't.
I think it stimulates, if I'm remembering this correctly, it stimulates like the brown fat. that like is metabolically active that surrounds your organs. And so if that's in a better state to keep you warm because of the cold plunge, that's another added benefit.
Okay, interesting. Any other trends you like, dislike?
I think one of the things that I've had a good time with lately are is the peptide therapy.
Oh,
So
yes. Okay, we've talked about this.
it's so I'm currently on BPC 157 and TB500 along with a growth hormone like stimulator called Iprimorelin, and it's combined with Tesamorelin. And so that's been really interesting to see. It's still largely experimental. So before going into that, I think that's something you should know. It's amazing. I mean, people have amazing results from it,
Like it
from what I've seen.
promotes healing, muscle. What does it do? I don't even remember.
So the BPC 157 with it, so the TB500, they both work together synergistically, and they essentially ramp up your body's recovery mechanisms. And it's been amazing for pain with some of my patients. So one of my friends has had severe scoliosis for her entire life, and this particular peptide, BPC 157, made a tremendous difference in her health. It's like she finally could go days without pain, and she had lived most of her life with. I mean, so it's like I started hearing stories like that, and I was like, okay, I just want to try it. You know, patients are going to come in and ask me about it. It would be nice to have some experience with it, you
And
know?
I remember you recommended it for my shoulder. I'm scared of needles, so I couldn't do it because you have to do it yourself at home, and that was too much for me. And then also, like you said, it's so new. I don't like doing anything that's too
Well,
new.
that's reasonable.
I'm like, let it be like 10 years and let's see if
Yeah.
everyone's still healthy.
No, I understand.
And then
I
maybe I'll do
completely
it. But I
understand.
agree, I've only heard good things. Like everyone that I know that has done it, I've only heard good things. And I feel like honestly, at the end of the day, if you said to me, your shoulder's not getting better, you do this, or the next step would be medication or would be surgery, I would do it. So I feel like it depends where you're at, right?
It's from myself, I just noticed I was recovering a lot faster from my workouts,
That's what
since
everyone
I'm working out
says.
pretty hard these days. And
Helps
then
with weight loss, like all sorts of things.
I've just my left shoulder, ever since I tore my rotator cuff a while ago, it's my left shoulder is just I have to continually put in work to keep it happy. And started taking this peptide, and it just feels like it just feels different. It's really interesting. I don't have to, I mean, I still keep up the work, you know, to make sure that my movement is really good. I have good mobility. My strength feels good. Monitoring my form and my workouts, my form looks really good. So everything's still being monitored. It's just amazing that it just feels great. And all I did was inject this little thing, you know, into my stomach in the morning, you know, for 5 days. I mean, it was really cool. I will say, if you're going to do peptide therapy, go with a clinic, a reputable clinic that has physicians on staff that, you know, can vet where the peptide's coming from, because there's a lot of crap out there. As soon as something starts catching sales, you know, it's or catching the wind, it's gonna, you know, everyone's gonna want a piece of the pie. So there's stuff you can take by mouth. I wouldn't do that. The best way to do it is to inject it.
Okay, that's good
So
to.
that's a trend. I've been having fun with that one. Another one is NAD therapy.
I have heard of this too.
And that's, you know, to optimize your mitochondria, which is what they're finding is a big thing that you know, changes as you age. And so it's about optimizing those metabolic processes in your body, and so that you stay younger, recover faster. So a lot of professional athletes do that. A lot of anti-aging enthusiasts do it. I can't. I had skin cancer at one point, so I'm not a. There
Oh,
still needs
interesting.
to be more research on it to make sure that's safe for my category. But so that is one thing. It is also relatively new. The recommendations also seem to have changed over time, you know, with how much you do, and so it is another newer thing, you know, that you might want to wait a little bit and just see how that evolves. But another thing that people swear by, they think it's miraculous. Usually it's there's stuff that you can spray in your nose. You can take it that way. You can take it by mouth. You can get it in an IV. Sit there for 30 40 minutes, and then it kind of cycles through your system. That's another way to do it. But again, definitely newer, and it's just exciting to see all of this new stuff that is coming out. I mean, it's really exciting. There, peptides may be the future of medicine with how we do things, just because of how powerful it can be.
No, I'm with you. I love seeing it. I don't want to be the guinea pig, but I love seeing where it's going. I love listening to podcasts about it, reading books on it, all the lectures. I'm with you. It's going to be, I agree. I do think that people are starting to wake up where pharmaceutical drugs is not the answer, where surgery isn't always the answer, and we're all looking for then what are our other options. So that's why I love what you do and the variety that you offer and that you actually like cater it to the person. Because I will say, like, me and my husband came in with like similar shoulder issues, and our treatments have been very different. And you can tell that you really are making it for each patient.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have found a place that allows me to provide that service. You know, most clinics don't allow hour-long appointments, so that's been a huge blessing. Yeah, if you can find a place like that, it's not the most lucrative way to practice, you know, but it is the best way to get
You're
results,
right.
and we
In
get
this
people
very
that are
like turn
fast.
and burn, world where doctors spend 10 minutes with you, for sure. No, it's amazing. I recommend you to everybody. Okay, so I know you got to go
Thanks.
soon, so I want to do a quick f fire rap or like this or that game that sometimes I
Okay.
play at the end just for fun. And then let you go to your patients. So, number one, do you like AM or PM workouts more?
PM for me.
Okay, because of work, that makes sense.
Yep.
Sauna or cold plunge?
Sauna.
Okay, me too. Workout alone or with someone?
Alone for me. I'm a
Okay.
bit of an outlier there. I just like to focus and put in my headphones and just go for
Yeah. Well, I also feel like because your work is very like you talk to people, you have people. Because I have like my girlfriend that owns a salon. She's like constantly talking to people and doing hair. She's drained by the end of the day. So it's a little
Yep.
different than me. Deadlifts or squats?
Oh man, that's a hard one. It depends.
Okay.
I'd have to, I like deadlifts better, but it depends on what you're wanting.
What do you mean? What would I want?
It just depends on what your goals are, what your sport requires. If you just like doing them, and I had to choose, I'd choose deadlifts. It's just fun to lift something really heavy off the ground. You know, whereas a squat, you're descending and controlling the weight down. They work the muscles differently. One's more anterior chain dominant or front chain dominant. One's more posterior chain dominant. They're both powerhouse exercises that are so heavy. But yeah, I'd
Okay,
rather
would you
deadlift.
rather do a wall sit or a plank?
Plank. I don't like wall sits.
Okay. This is boring, probably. I guess they're both kind of boring if you sit in it long enough. Okay. Squats or lunges?
Squats.
Squats. Okay. Do you like to do rest days or active recovery days more?
I after reco after reco active recovery is always going to be the best. But I think once in a while you really do just need a day to just chill.
Do you work out every day?
Almost every day. I'll do weights and stuff 4 days a week. And then I have multiple zone two cardio days. Sometimes those overlap with my weight training days. And then I have one day a week that is just, I can just do whatever I want and just relax.
Okay, so you have like a bit of a routine. Yeah, it's funny. I was talking when I had Gunnar Peterson on a while ago. He said he works out every day, and he's like, the day offs always find me. So it'll be like the day he has to get like a really early flight to go to Egypt or whatever. He's like, the day offs find you. So like you don't even need to schedule it. Like just work out every day and they will find you. And I'm like, that's such a smart way to look at it because he's right.
Good.
There's always going to be that random day every 10 days or 14 days where I'm like, I just don't have time.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good.
What dry needling or lasers?
Dry needling.
Okay. And then CBD balm or heat. So I remember when I first came to you, you were like, be careful with the cold, like icing things. And I always prefer heat over icing anyways.
Yeah, well, icing, reading in some of the research that's come out, saying that it constricts the blood flow to the area, it can actually affect the healing time a bit, potentially. I don't know how dramatic that would be, but in a injurious situation, you want to make sure we get as much blood flow to the area as possible to nourish it so it heals.
Makes
So
sense.
if that's what you want, you don't want to ice it. But then there is a time and place for ice, you know. I
Bring
think
down the
it's more,
swelling. Yeah.
yeah, like in the beginning when you're just getting, like you just injured something, like you just sprained your ankle, get ice on it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, heat compared to CBD balm, they're definitely, there's ongoing research on CBD. I'm excited to see what more comes out. I personally get more benefit from heat whenever I've used heat, but yeah, but then I have some people that swear by CBD. So I have a
Yeah.
CBD referral now that I send people to if they
I
want
will
to try that.
say, like, I used to carry CBD products at Lemon back in California, and the company we used was small, local. She was amazing. All her stuff was pure, super strong. People would drive like an hour just to come get her balm, like that, because you can't sell it online. It's like a whole thing. Selling CBD online is like a whole legal thing. And I just remember at the time I was younger and I didn't have any aches and pains, and people would rave about it. And I'm like, I wish I had an ache and pain so I could put it on to see if it works. And be careful what you wish for, because then fast forward, now if I ever put it on, it works. And it's so much obviously better than taking Advil or whatever. So I'm such a believer now, but it has to be high quality CBD.
Yes. It is. That's one of the things, like when with patients, when I've given out, samples, for example, some people will come back and say it's amazing. Some people will come back and say it didn't do anything. So it's one of those things I feel like is hit and miss. If you have the opportunity to use it, try it. I don't see anything wrong with it. And I have some, like I treat some pilots, here and there. They like have to be extra careful, and so making sure the purity of the product is huge. I don't know. I think they can, but I don't. Can they make a 100% pure like gel that doesn't have any THC?
Well, I mean,
I don't,
CBD is not supposed to have any of that, but
because I've heard some trace amounts get into the can get into the
I don't
product.
know. That's a good point. I don't know if someone's being like drug tested, like a NBA player or something. I have no idea. I have no idea if that like
But
becomes
what,
an
yeah, it's
issue.
exactly with professional athletes and with pilots and people
Got
of
it.
that nature,
Yeah.
I'm
Okay. That's
really
something to
careful.
think about. I will
I'm really
say
careful.
if there's people, I will say I like to put it on in the evening when I'm already like doing nothing, like take a hot shower, then put it on, then chill, and then it
That.
works. I wonder if people are putting it on and then working out and then they're like, it doesn't work. I don't know. Just a thought. I don't
That's
know.
interesting.
But I like both. I like heat and I like everything on the list, really. Okay, thank you so much for doing this, Anthony. Will you tell everyone if they're local and they want to come to you, where can they find you? You have a website, social media. What's the best way?
I'm at Resilient Health and Performance in Brentwood, Tennessee. And yeah, you just find us at online. You just go to like Google Resilient Health and Performance, will come up, and that's how you can find us.
I love it. And I know you have an Instagram you don't use very much, but I'll
Actually,
post
just
it.
deactivated
Oh,
it.
okay.
So
Never
I'm
mind.
the worst with social media. Yeah,
So
but
you're done with social. Got it. Which I kind of love. I kind of love when guys are not on social. My husband doesn't like social either, so
it's peace.
it is. I also feel like it's kind of a girly place to be. I don't know. I could be
I
wrong.
gotcha.
But the guys that post all the time, I'm like, what are you doing? I don't get it. So good for you. Good for you. And also, I will say, if people just message me on Instagram, I'll send your direct info.
Oh,
So if
cool. I would love
anyone's
that.
local and wants info, like I'm already like bragging about you any chance I get, because my
Well, you're the
shoulder is
best.
literally 98% better.
Well, I definitely tell people about lemon. So,
Okay. Oh,
absolutely.
thank you. You're so
Yeah,
sweet. Thank
next
you,
time my mom comes
Anthony.
down, I'm going to take her to lemon for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'll have to be there when she comes.
For sure.
All right, well, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, bye.